We interrupt your regularly scheduled podcast to bring you Listen, Watch, Discuss. Enjoy the show. Hey everyone, welcome back to Listen, Watch, Discuss. As always, I'm your host, Brent Aiken. And on tonight's episode, I will be reviewing the latest horror movie, Thanksgiving. Now, the teaser trailer for this came out in September, and I knew nothing about the movie, but after seeing the teaser trailer, I'm like, oh, this is going to be interesting, a Thanksgiving horror movie, because, you know, we've had, an abundant amount of Halloween horror movies, and we haven't really had, and we've had some Christmas horror movies, but we haven't really had many, if any at all, like, mainstream Thanksgiving horror movies. So I was like, oh, that's kind of interesting. And you know, it kind of is the reason why is because, you know, Thanksgiving, even though we still celebrate it, it kind of tends to just get lumped in. It kind of tends to just get glossed over in a way, even though we still celebrate it and, you know, talk about it, you know, because it's crammed in between two arguably bigger and more celebrated holidays, Halloween and Christmas. So, you know, it's like it kind of just gets like forgotten about in a way. Like we celebrate it, and then it's like, oh, time for Christmas. And even when we celebrate it, you know, after Halloween, we're already, you know, celebrating and anticipating and looking forward to Christmas. But it was nice to, and you know, there's very rarely any Thanksgiving, you know, holiday specials or anything. There's a few, you know, and of course, you know, there's still football games and the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade still happens. But, you know, for the most part, Thanksgiving does kind of tend to get lost in between those other two bigger holidays of Halloween and Christmas. So when I saw that, you know, that they were making this movie, I saw the teaser trailer. I'm like, oh, that's interesting for a movie, you know, a horror movie to take place on Thanksgiving. And the fact that the killer was a pilgrim, or a serial killer dressed up as a pilgrim going around killing people. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting concept for a movie. I will not be really going into spoilers for this, because I would like for anyone who wants to go see this to go see it. And there are some really good kills, and it was a good twist as to who the killer was. So I will not really be going into spoilers. Very rarely do I ever do that, but I want everyone who wants to go see it to go see it. So, yes, I definitely am recommending this movie. But originally this movie, what I didn't know until after I watched that first teaser, that first teaser trailer, was that this originally was a fake trailer for a fake movie. It was a parody mock trailer that aired before the it was like a double feature. I believe they both premiered on the same night in theaters. They were both released on the same night in theaters, but it was the Grindhouse was the name. It was like a double feature, and it pretty much was Robert Rodriguez's Planet Terror, which was a horror comedy about a group of survivors who battle these zombie-like creatures, which I haven't seen, but I've heard was pretty good. And Quentin Tarantino's movie Death Proof, which, you know, is about Kurt Russell playing this murderous stuntman who seduces and kills these beautiful young women with his quote-unquote death-proof car. And I've seen Death Proof. I liked it. It's not my favorite of Quentin Tarantino's movies, but I do enjoy it. I do think it's a good movie. And I've heard Planet Terror was good. I just haven't seen it. But I have seen some of Robert Rodriguez's other films, particularly his movies, like his kid movies, or his movies made for kids. Because, you know, I used to watch them when I was little, like Shark Boy and Lava Girl. I loved that when I was a kid. The Spy Kids movies, obviously. And what was the other one I'm thinking of? Oh, yeah, Shorts, which came out like, it was almost 15 years ago. Shit. Yeah, I believe it was like 2009 when that one came out. But yeah, so it was a double feature that was released in 2007, and they aired, or before the movie, they played a bunch of fake trailers for other movies that were never actually real. I mean, that, you know, didn't actually exist or were never coming out. Similarly to similar to what Tropic Thunder would do a year later, which, you know, at the, if you don't know, at the beginning of Tropic Thunder, they play these fake trailers for fake movies of different genres. And except in that movie, the movie trailers that are before Tropic Thunder actually kind of relate and set up the characters that are in the movie. Because each movie trailer is a different genre, and it showcases a different character from the movie, one of the actors in the movies. You know, like Ben Stiller's character in Tropic Thunder is like an action movie hero, so his trailer is like the sixth or seventh in an action film series. You know, it's like, oh, this again, you know. And Robert Downey Jr.'s character is like a method actor. You know, he's more into dramas. So like his trailer is like a dramatic, you know, Oscar picture nominee, you know, winner movie, you know. Or it's like, it would be like, oh, it's up for the Oscars. It's something like that. You know, it'd be like it air in the fall, or it'd premiere in the fall and be up for an Oscar. But all of these trailers, however, before the movie, before the double feature, none of them existed, and none of them played a part in the stories of either Planet Terror or Death Proof. You know, they were just fake trailers for fake movies that didn't play into any part of those movies at all. But eventually, Hobo with a Shotgun, which I love. There's like five of them. There's Don't, and I'm not going in order, but there's Don't, Werewolf Women of the SS, which that one was great. There was Thanksgiving, obviously, Machete, and Hobo with a Shotgun. And I think that was all of them. And this movie is the third of the mock trailers to actually get a feature length film, because Machete was the first one, which was in 2010, 3 years after the fake trailer and Grindhouse premiered in theaters. And it actually got a sequel, and it was also directed by Robert Rodriguez, same as Planet Terror. And it starred, and he actually got everyone that was, or most everyone that was in the fake trailer for Machete to be in both movies. So, and I haven't seen those movies, but they look pretty goofy, over the top, fun action. You know, it looks like a good time. And then Jason Eisner directed Hobo with a Shotgun, that came out in 2011. So, 12 years later, we got the third of the fake Grindhouse trailer movies. Or we got the third movie of the five fake Grindhouse trailers. And it was pretty good. I liked it. Basically, if you haven't seen the trailer for the movie, well, obviously it takes place on Thanksgiving. But it's about a serial killer. In 2022, last year in the movie's timeline, there is a horrible tragedy that takes place at the fictional Right Mart Superstore on Black Friday. Well, it's a Thanksgiving night. So, you know, it's like they're opening early for Black Friday. And because, you know, people can't wait until the next day. They have to go during Thanksgiving. And there's a horrible tragedy that happens. Several people are injured and brutally murdered. It's just a madhouse in there in the store. And a year later, in order to like kind of teach the town a lesson for being the greedy, selfish, inconsiderate assholes they were, a serial killer dressed as a pilgrim, more specifically John Carver, who was one of the, I believe he was the first governor of Plymouth. Oh, and by the way, the Right Mart and the movie takes place in Plymouth, Massachusetts. I forgot to mention that. But yeah, so I believe John Carver was like they said it in the movie, but I forgot. I think he was the first governor of Plymouth. But yeah, he's dressed as John Carver and wielding an axe. You know, he's like dressed head to toe in black. He's got a pilgrim hat and a, you know, plastic John Carver mask and an axe, like a rusty axe. And he's going around one by one killing people that were at the store that night, like 1 year ago, and, you know, killing them based on specific reasons, you know, like mostly due to the fact that they were assholes. You know, it's like, oh yeah, okay, you were an asshole, or you left when you were supposed to be guarding the place. You were indirectly responsible for killing someone that I cared about. And that's as far as I'm going to go, because if I go any more. If I mention who that person was, that'd be a spoiler. But, you know, it's stuff like that. You know, someone uploaded the video of the chaos, so he's going after them, you know. And it's up to this ragtag team of teens, the police department, and the head teen, Jennifer, I believe was her name. Jessica, yeah. And it's up to Jessica's, it's up to her friends, the police department, and her her father, who is the owner of the Right Mart store, or store chain. And it's up to all of them to stop this crazy John Carver serial killer before he has prepared his Thanksgiving dinner, before he has completed his mission. And yeah, this will probably be a shorter review because I'm not going into any spoilers. But I will say that this was a really good movie, and I think it was better than I thought it was going to be. Or at the very least, it was as good as I thought it'd be, which is always good when you can say that about a movie, is that it, at least if it didn't exceed your expectations, it at the very least met your expectations. So I appreciate that the movie was as good as it was, or as I thought it was going to be. Not to mention the acting from everyone is pretty good. They don't play the most in-depth characters, but they do a good job with what they're given. You know, I mean, it's not like that. We don't spend a whole lot of time with everyone. And, you know, some people die earlier than others. But everything that all the actors are given, they do a good job at acting out their parts, you know. I really did like Jessica, the main character. Who was she played by? Nell Verloc. And I have not seen her in anything. In fact, a lot of these actors, I'm sure, have been in other stuff. But most likely, I feel like they're probably, most of them are like TV actors because or up-and-comers, because I haven't really seen that many of them. But she does a great job. And she's like the main character in the movie. So we follow her a lot and her ragtag group of high school-aged friends. Gabby, played by Addison Rae, is one of her friends. We got her boyfriend, Bobby, played by Jalen Thomas Brooks. He was pretty good. We got Milo Mannheim, who a year later she is dating. So there's kind of a love triangle, jealousy thing going on between Ryan and Bobby. But yeah, Ryan is her later her new boyfriend, played by Milo Mannheim. Let's see, who else? Oh, Evan, played by, I'm sorry if I'm butchering some of the names, Tommaso Sanelli. Gabriel Davenport plays Scuba. He was pretty good. And then Jenna Warren plays Yulia, who Scuba and Yulia are dating. And then Evan and Gabby are dating. And they all did a really good job. I liked the dynamic between the group. You know, it's your kind of like Scream dynamic, you know, where you have this plucky group of teenagers who are, you know, swept up into this horrible mass murder around their town, or, you know, this murder massacring people around town, and they have to figure out how to put a stop to it. I mean, not saying this is like a ripoff of Scream, it's just it has elements of Scream, you know, or of like these horror movies where the teens are kind of the main focus, or a huge focus in the movie. And except this one doesn't really, it's not like poking fun at horror movies like Scream does, you know, where that's kind of like the Scream series, film series whole thing was that like, oh yeah, we're poking fun at the tropes. We're paying homage and respect and love and appreciation to horror movies while at the same time poking fun at some of the maybe cheesier aspects of some of the movies, you know, and just poking fun at the tropes you would see in those movies. This doesn't really do that per se, but it does, feel reminiscent of Scream in that aspect, you know, the teens having to stop the masked killer in their town. So that was cool. And Patrick Dempsey, and speaking of Scream, Patrick Dempsey, who played Detective Kincaid in the third Scream movie, plays the sheriff in this movie. So that's another thing they have in common, that Patrick Dempsey plays the law enforcement, or one of the law enforcements in the movie who's trying to stop the killer. And he does a pretty good job, too. Everyone else is fantastic, too, or great. at what little we see of them. And when we get John Carver, he does a great job. Or the person voicing when the killer's like, well, later on when we when the killer is like speaking to the victims, when we get to him like speaking to some of the victims he's kidnapped, he is voiced by Adam McDonald, who does a pretty good menacing sounding, or he does a good job at sounding like very menacing and very, you know, very creepy. Let's see, who else? I'm trying to think of who else. The what was her name? I can't find her in the well, anyway, the oh yeah. Okay, so I can't find the actress's name. I don't know why I can't find her. Was it Lizzie? No, I don't think that's it. Well, anyway, the woman who plays the wife of the I forgot her. I can't find her name, and I forgot the character's name in the movie. Sorry, I was looking on the Wikipedia, IMDb page to find her. I couldn't find her. Anyway, the actress who plays the wife of the Jess's stepmom, the new wife, is does a pretty good job too. And the oh, and Rick Hoffman plays who some of you may know as he's in Suits, which I've not seen Suits, but I've heard from my dad, because him and my stepmom are watching that at the moment, that he's pretty good in that show. And he does a pretty good job here. And at first you think, and he's Thomas Wright, he's the owner of Wright Mart, he's Jessica's dad. And upon first glance, when we first are introduced to him and Jessica, you think he's going to be the kind of asshole dad who's always just focused on making a quick buck and running his store, and he's not, you know, listening or paying attention to his daughter. He's just focused on the new wife, who, you know, is kind of a thorn in Jessica's side because she's the stepmom, you know, to Jessica. And but no, I mean, over the film and fairly early on, we see him kind of change. You know, and there's a very sweet moment with him and Jessica in the movie where he is kind of like, you know what, I haven't really been as focused on you as I should have, Jessica. I'm sorry. I'll change that right now. And of course, I'm paraphrasing, but it's something to that effect. And that's a very sweet scene where he's like, yeah, I will focus more. I'll pay more attention to you. I've just kind of been, you know, preoccupied with the store and all that. And I'm sorry. I shouldn't have been. And yeah, very sweet scene. He was a good dad. He was a good character. He played the character really well, and I liked his and his daughter and Jessica's relationship in the movie. Their father-daughter relationship. It was sweet. Oh yeah, and also the budget is only $15 million, which is nice because, you know, the kills, all the kills, look really good, like the practical effects and the gore makeup and all that. Look great, and they're very creative and inventive kills. Some of the best ones I've seen in a horror movie, or at least a newer horror movie, or I guess recently in any horror movie, whether it's like a new horror movie that's come out or like any that I've watched. Of course, I haven't seen every horror movie or as many as I probably sound like I have, as I'm coming across right now. Like, I'm not a horror movie expert, you know, but of the horror movies I've seen, this does have some really gory. Definitely more gory than Scream, although some of the Scream kills or some of the kills in the Scream series are gory. Excuse me. This goes a little bit more. This goes a little bit harder. with the kills, they're gorier and bloodier. And what's cool is that if they're not, most of them are somehow the killer finds a way to tie them in with the theme of Thanksgiving. Which is cool. like, I won't say who, but one of the, okay, I'll just say one of the deaths involves an oven, and it's very creative. One of the deaths involves one of the deaths involves an electric turkey carver. One of them involves a dumpster. And you know, I would like to go into more detail, but I part of the fun of horror movies, you know, especially ones that have just come out, you know. So like you guys haven't seen it, so I do kind of want to avoid going into details about the deaths because, you know, it's just recently been released. You know, it's only like two, it's only been out for 2 days. So, you know, most of you have not seen the movie yet. Or, and if you have, you know what, you know which ones I'm talking about, but I'd rather not spoil the deaths because they are very creative and the movie is only a couple days, has only been out for a couple days. So, I mean, but I will say though that the deaths are very creative and a lot of them do tie in with the theme of Thanksgiving or using Thanksgiving Thanksgiving utensils and, you know, things you would use on Thanksgiving as murder weapons, which I'm like, oh, that's cool. That's very creative. I like that. Like the deaths not only looked good, the practical effects and the gore makeup, but they were also very creative and tied in with the theme of Thanksgiving. And yeah, I mean, the budget's only $15 million and it has grossed, $12.6 million so far. It may have grossed even more than that. But I believe that's the current, you know, what it's grossed at the box office, which is good. Because, you know, Thanksgiving isn't here yet, and it'll probably gross even more over the next few days. Because, you know, there's still like four more days until Thanksgiving. I'm sure people will still see it after Thanksgiving, but I know a lot of people will probably go see it before or on Thanksgiving because it's a Thanksgiving-themed movie, you know. But yeah, I mean, it goes to show that when you, again, I've said this before, but when you have a smaller budget for your movie, you don't have an overblown budget, you know, you tend to make your money back. That's what A24 and Blumhouse do a lot, you know, where with their budgets, where they don't have insanely huge budgets. And more often than not, I mean, depending on the how many people are going to go see that movie that weekend and what movies are coming out the weekend that they release some of their movies. Because sometimes bigger movies, you know, prevail. Like sometimes more popular movies prevail than some of the A24 or Blumhouse movies. But, you know, but a lot of their movies, they have smaller budgets and they sometimes, or they have like a built-in fan base of like people like, oh yeah, I love Blumhouse movies, you know, or I love A24. A24 makes like really classy, more elevated horror type movies. And then Blumhouse is like, they're more like slasher type movies. But they did a, you know, they tend to have smaller budgets and most more often than not, they gross the budget back and then some. They gross more than what they expected. And which is nice. And you know, this wasn't released by this wasn't a Blumhouse or A24 movie. It was a released by TriStar Pictures, who, you know, is they're a member of the Sony Pictures Motion Picture Group. But they're a production company under Sony Pictures. But the fact that it looks as good as it does for the budget it has, you know, it didn't have huge, huge stars, helped a lot because they didn't have to pay them too much, you know. And it had a good story and they used the gore and practical effects to their advantage, you know, and they made all the deaths look great. And not to mention, you don't have to have big name actors to have good acting in your movie. You can have smaller, not quite as well-known actors be in the movie and they be just as good. And you know, pretty much all the actors in this movie were really good. And also it's under 2 hours, with credits. It's, an hour and 46 minutes. So, you know, it's not, and not that I would have cared if it was 2 hours, but I think the runtime was perfect for what this movie was, for this being a slasher movie, horror movie. You know, it didn't need to be, it didn't need to go on for too long. Like I didn't feel like the movie dragged at all. It was the perfect length. And I guess that's all I'll say. And also they maybe kind of set up a sequel, towards the end, but I won't say how. And it's funny, there is one post-credit scene, but you don't really have to stay for it. It's more of an outtake than anything. It's a Rick Hoffman's character, pretty much, or I guess it is Rick Hoffman, but it's a scene, it's the scene I was talking about with him and the actress who plays Jessica. in their scene where he's like, oh no, I'll be more thoughtful, I'll be more considerate and spend more time with you, Jessica. You know, I'm sorry if I've been being distant, you know. It's like an extended version of that scene. It's like Jessica leaves the, or her actress leaves the room, and then at first I thought we were gonna get like a setup for a sequel or more of a setup, and it's like, oh shit, wait, is her dad like the villain too? Or is he in on it, or are they setting up the next one somehow? Like, as like, you know, with him being like the bad guy. But no, it was it he looks straight at the camera, Rick Hoffman's character does, and or Rick Hoffman does, yeah, because at that point it is an outtake. But Rick Hoffman looks straight at the camera and he just flips the flips everyone off. And I like to think that the director Eli Roth purposely did that because maybe I feel like that was maybe him poking fun at the fact that Marvel's basically conditioned us all to stay, or most of us to stay during the credits of every movie, because every Marvel movie has had a mid or post or both mid and post credit scenes in all of their movies. So now it's just like everything we consume, everything we watch, we're just trained to stay and wait, because we're like, oh well, we might miss something setting up the next movie. but it was just an outtake of Rick Hoffman flipping the cameraman and the audience off and the crew, you know, and you just hear them laughing in the background. That was pretty good. But yeah, so I guess that's it. I mean, there's not really much else I can say. Just if you haven't seen the movie yet, I mean, I saw it last night, so it had only been out for a day. So it's, you know, fairly recent. It's only been out for 2 days. If you haven't seen it yet, go watch it either on, well, I don't know if the movie theater will be open, wherever you all live, everyone who's listening to this, I don't know if your movie theaters will be open on Thanksgiving, but if they are, go watch it on Thanksgiving or sometime within the next 3 days. Or, you know, you can watch it on Black Friday, you know, Thanksgiving weekend. But check it out. It's a pretty good horror movie. And not to mention, I like the credits that play at the end, like this punk rock theme, and the credits are kind of like very punk rock, like a quick sketchbook kind of drawn with the actual names and the credits and everything. And like the freeze frame images of like the actors, like, I don't know, it looks cool. Like, cause it's like, we see a quick shot of the actors from the movie in their character. And then it pauses on a frame of them. And then like their name pops up in like this sketchbook type quick scribbled out, a font, you know, like, it's like, you know, we'll see a shot of Patrick Dempsey's character, and then, you know, Patrick Dempsey will pop up in the, like, these kind of like, this kind of like scribbled, sketchy looking font, like pencil type written out font. And then that looks cool. I like that kind of aesthetic, that style. The Spider-Man trilogy, the recent MCU Spider-Man trilogy, kind of did that with the end of their movie. I think Deadpool did it with one of their movies. You know, it's kind of a cool, unique looking style. And of course, I think Miss Marvel did that too. So Marvel has done that with a few of their movies and shows. Oh, also, there's something I forgot to mention. There are a couple moments that actually did get me to jump. And some of them, I think one of them was a jump scare. One was just, I guess maybe they were both jump scares. One was maybe a little bit more obvious, but it was, the way it was set up was really good, because I didn't see it coming. And the other one was built a little bit more into the scene, I guess, if that makes sense. And I still didn't expect it. And then one moment towards the beginning, in the Black Friday cold open, like before we get the title card, there is a scene where there is a death of a character, and we only knew that character for like 5 minutes, but the acting from someone close to that character, when they start breaking down and they're like, no, you're dead, what, you know, I can't believe this, what, you know, it's just the anger and pain and sadness. I'll say he, I won't say who, but the actor who played him in that moment did a great job, because you can feel the pain and hate and sadness in his voice. And like, he really, like, I was tearing up. I was like, oh, I feel bad, you know. And the way the character went out that he was mourning over, I was like, damn, that sucks. Like, that whole, I mean, the whole movie is tense. There's a lot of tension and, you know, a couple decent, like, oh shit, jump scare moments, you know, but like, they're that I think the most tense, well, I don't know if it's the most tense, but the opening sequence with the Black Friday cold open is definitely very tense. Like, you know, I was just like, just everything that was going on in that moment, like the build up to everyone rushing into the store. And then when they did rush into the store, everything, the chaos that ensued there, I was like, oh shit, this is like nerve wracking in a way. But yeah, so I forgot to mention that. But yeah, so great acting. The kills were very creative, and for the budget they had, the gore and practical effects looked great too. Wait, did I say the acting was great? Yeah, acting was great. Runtime, it didn't drag. It was a decent, pretty good runtime. And I feel like this will become a cult classic horror movie, you know, if it hasn't already, at least over the years to come. Like, you know, next year people will be like, oh yeah, let's watch Thanksgiving for November, you know, and or on Thanksgiving. And John Carver, I feel like we'll probably be seeing some Halloween costumes of John Carver next year, which will be cool. So yeah, I guess that does it. Go see it if you haven't seen it yet. You still have 4 days until Thanksgiving, or three. Well, no, four, until, because I'll be posting, yeah, it's Sunday night, so technically you do have four more days until Thanksgiving, or three and a half. But yeah, so go see it if you haven't yet. It's a pretty good horror movie. I'd probably give it like a 7, 7.5, maybe an 8. I don't know, but at least a 7.5. It may go up. I don't think it'll go underneath a 7. It's somewhere between, it's floating between a 7 and an 8. So I enjoyed it that much. But yeah, so, you know, this a shorter review tonight. But again, because I didn't go into spoilers, that, you know, kind of made sense why it was a little shorter. but yeah, so I guess that does it for tonight. Join me next, or not next Friday. Well, I guess it's technically this upcoming Friday. I said next because it's still this week. It's still Sunday. But this upcoming Friday, I'll be reviewing the first half of season 2 of Invincible, the Amazon, you know, for those of you who don't know, it's the Amazon animated superhero series based on the comic book of the same name. And it, you know, it's been really good so far. It's, you know, it's, again, like with The Boys and Gen V, it's Amazon's, you know, one of their most popular shows. And it's funny that all three of them are superhero shows. but yeah, it's, season's been great so far. I'm looking forward to the mid-season finale next week, or, you know, this upcoming Friday. And I will be posting that review probably the middle of the day Friday. So, but yeah, for those of you who are celebrating Thanksgiving, and those of you who aren't, have a good Thanksgiving and have a good Thursday in general. Just, you know, if you're off, have a great week off. Enjoy Thanksgiving if you celebrate it. Happy Thanksgiving. And I'll see you all on Black Friday. and until then, take care.